Wayfair's Labor Day clearance is here. Right now, score up to 70% off everything home, plus fast shipping on everything right to your door. Shop now through September 2nd at wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hello from the Heartland. My name is Jenna, and this is Smarter News, and this is our week in review where we take a deep breath and a step back from the news and see what themes are illuminated that teach us something about the world that we're living in right now. And it's no secret that immigration is the big news story of the week. How we define our borders helps define us as a nation and how we see ourselves as people. And these are some really tough conversations about immigration, specifically illegal immigration at the U.S. southern border, and what it means to be an American, especially now. And it seems in the news cycle that being compassionate and being current are almost separate things. And I don't think they have to be. I think you can be current and compassionate at the same time. You should have the facts, develop your own feelings about those facts, but have the facts in front of you. And so today, what I wanted to do as we're looking at this week's news is present to you about five facts that I think you should know about when it comes to immigration at the U.S. southern border at this time. I was hoping to get through this in about 10 minutes. I think that's probably impossible because these are pretty heavy facts. But I think at the end of this, I hope that you have some new data that helps paint a picture accurately of what's going on in America right now, because this is going to be an ongoing discussion. It's been a discussion over the last several years, and there's really no end in sight. So let's start off with the first fact I think you should know, which is one number that is new this week. The number is 675,000. According to fresh testimony this week by the acting head of the Department of Homeland Security, more than 675,000 people were either apprehended or turned away at the U.S. southern border so far this year. Customs and Border Protection has shared the most current data through May. You can find that easily through their website. June's numbers won't be released until the first week of July at the earliest, so they're coming, so you should know that. But in May alone, 132,000 people were apprehended for illegally crossing the U.S. southern border. This number is really important because it both tells a story and misses a story. So on the one hand, it accurately shows the highest number of apprehensions in more than a decade. So a significant number. But the number alone doesn't tell us how many family units or unaccompanied minors are a percentage of the total. And that's significant because family units or those under the age of 18 made up more than 70% of the total apprehensions at the border. This is what is new and historic and different from previous times in our history, and why comparing numbers doesn't really work. This is why the resources normally allotted for the U.S. southern border are being stretched, because we have not seen this before. Also, I want to note that while we're focusing on the numbers, it is important to share this. These are the numbers of those apprehended at the U.S. southern border. We do not have a number or an estimate of those who have crossed successfully undetected. And I think we should just keep that in mind for what it's worth. The second number to know is 60,000. 60,000 is the estimated number of minors, those under the age of 18, who have entered Department of Homeland Security custody in the last 40 days. Let me just say that again. 60,000 is the estimated number of minors, those under the age of 18, who have entered government custody in the last 40 days alone. So the category we're talking about is unaccompanied alien children. That is the category as marked by the U.S. government. But that name is also a little bit misleading, because when we hear the word child, right, we might think of a five-year-old. I mean, that's natural. That's what I think about. But more than 70% of these UACs, unaccompanied alien children, are over the age of 14. So they're teenagers. and more than 70% are male. So I just want you to have that picture. Typically, these minors are transferred from Department of Homeland Security custody within several hours to the custody of Health and Human Services, specifically the Office of Refugee Resettlement, where on average, according to data that we have from the Office of Refugee Resettlement, they stay for 40 to 60 days until the government can release them responsibly to a family member or guardian that's already in the United States that the government has screened. And that should be mentioned. The government has the responsibility when they come into the custody of the government to place them in a safe environment. And that takes a little time. So that's part of why these minors stay in government custody. Now, this is also important to point out that one of the big news items over the last week has been this story from the Associated Press, where about 250 minors were held at a Department of Homeland Security facility for more than just a few days. And it wasn't just the conditions, the questionable conditions that made news. The reality is that Border Patrol specifically, under the Department of Homeland Security, isn't equipped to detain anyone, you know, children, teenagers, adults, typically for longer than 72 hours. And one of the things that Border Patrol said for the reason for why these children were being held where they were and why these minors were being held where they were was that they simply didn't have anywhere to send them. And that was partly the issue of funding. The Office of Refugee Resettlement doesn't have permanent facilities all over the place to hold the record number of unaccompanied alien children coming into the United States. And so this is part of the puzzle of trying to figure out where and how to hold these minors before they can be released responsibly. So that's something you should know. Final number I think you should know is that last month, approximately 4,200 people were apprehended on average every day at the U.S. southern border. This number fluctuates a lot, but that's a really big number, 4,200 people every day. And for some context, during its heyday, Ellis Island processed about 5,000 immigrants every day. As a journalist, I don't love the constant referencing to Ellis Island immigration as a way to talk about our current policies. Today at the southern border, we are most often addressing illegal immigration. And when we speak about Ellis Island, we're discussing federally regulated legal immigration. So I think it's important to determine that. If anything, Ellis Island shows there is an efficient way to screen people before they pursue their American dream and to do it legally. You know, on Ellis Island, officials made sure that immigrants were healthy, had a place to go, that had some skills to apply to their goals, that they didn't have any legal trouble or questionable pass. Because in the end, the goal of the government was that everyone succeeds because it was better for everyone when they did. You didn't want to have people come in that were sick or didn't have a place to go or didn't have skills to work, because that would be a drain on the local government or local economies. And that was part of the philosophy behind that. Some of you have asked me, why are so many people attempting to cross the southern border now? And that leads us to our fourth fact. The reality is the cost of staying in their home countries is high. And the consequence of being apprehended in America is quite frankly low, especially legally. If an individual takes the risk of traveling to the American border, crosses and gets caught, they're charged with a misdemeanor. It's not a felony. And here's one of the impacts of that. And this is, again, going back to the testimony by our acting Department of Homeland Security Secretary. And I'm just going to read directly from it. It's a little bit of a long paragraph, but I think it's really important that you hear directly from him how he's describing why this situation is happening. Yes, we know about basically these failed states in Central America where people are motivated to leave. But what's really going on right now that makes it different? And here's what he says. Quote, simply put, cartels and smugglers are well versed in our laws. They know that under the status quo, family units and unaccompanied alien children will be released, often with little or no consequences for their illegal entry. Recent legal developments have both codified and broadcast this practice, presenting the cartels with a lucrative business opportunity. As a result, the numbers at the border have continued to grow, and desperate migrants are paying smugglers thousands of dollars to aid them on their illegal journey. We also know that the drug cartels are using the migrants as human diversions by putting them into large groups and dropping them at a remote location in the middle of the night, forcing our Border Patrol officers to redirect their coverage to rescue these groups. As part of their business model, smugglers and traffickers are forcing desperate inadmissibles or removable aliens into inhumane conditions, demanding extraordinary sums of money and putting lives in danger. We have identified almost 4,800 migrants this year presenting as family units that were determined to be fraudulent. We have even uncovered child recycling rings whereby innocent children are being used multiple times to help different adults intending immigrants gain illegal entry and release. We routinely observe advertisements on the radio, in the local news, on social media, and buy flyers and business cards advising that if you bring a child, you will not be deported, and that, quote, free American services and assistance are available, end quote. So that's coming from the acting head of the Department of Homeland Security. Most of the illegal immigrants that are being apprehended are from Northern Triangle countries. That's El Salvador, Honduras, and Guatemala, in combination with Mexico. And all these countries suffer from high crime, high poverty, and low prospects. And this, I think, kind of sums up when we're talking about violence. It seems very generic. What are we really talking about? So one particular survey said this: of the five countries in the world with the highest death rates in 2016, Syria, El Salvador, Venezuela, Honduras, and Afghanistan, only two had active armed conflicts. So basically what they're saying is, and this is a small arms survey, that El Salvador was only second to Syria, the site of a brutal civil war as far as violent deaths. So that gives you a little bit of an idea. Fear for one's life is reason that many are leaving these countries and are using that reason to apply for asylum. And that leads us really to our last fact, because applying for asylum and getting accepted, approved for asylum, granted asylum, is hard. Is really hard. And one of the biggest stories this week has been the photo of a young father and his toddler daughter who drowned trying to cross over to America from Mexico. From what we know through reports by the young man's mother from El Salvador, the father and his daughter were asylum seekers. And the father worked in a pizzeria in El Salvador. And here's a direct line from the Associated Press. The area has had problems with gang violence, but these days it's calm, she said. That's the mother. Adding that he, the son that died, never had any problems with gangs. They left for economic reasons. That's really important. This is a really important part of the story. Pursuing the American dream does not qualify someone for asylum. Religious persecution, political persecution does. So if you're a Christian in a non-Christian country and churches are being burned down and your life is being threatened, that's a reason to apply for asylum in America where you would have a chance. But I think we have to be really careful. Yes, many of the people who attempt to enter America now, legally or illegally, are asylum seekers. But just because they seek asylum doesn't mean they will automatically get it or even closely qualify for it. In fact, the majority do not. And that's really important to this story, too. While awaiting court dates that can range from 2 to 5 years, most asylum seekers can stay in America, though, as that's happening. And for the most part, no one specific agency is tracking that person or checking in on them on a regular basis. And this could be one of the reasons why Immigration and Customs Enforcement told us just recently that more than a million people have overstayed their final deportation orders. And that's another kind of side of the immigration issue that we don't talk a lot about. So those are the five facts. I hope you find these facts give you a little bit of a bigger picture about what's happening at the U.S. southern border. There are probably a dozen other facts we can include for sure. And one of you asked this week why there's so much focus on children in one facility, but not on the bigger picture. And I can't really answer that question for you, but it's not because these numbers aren't accessible. You know, we are in historic times. I think we should repeat that to each other because it's important to know that it's different and we should be wide-eyed about it. We can be compassionate and current and finally also creative. You know, in the past, there's been political debate about whether or not the crisis is real. Well, now both parties concede to it being a humanitarian crisis. This is why we passed an emergency funding bill this week that is supposed to push money towards the U.S. southern border to these agencies that simply do not have the resources historically to deal with what we're seeing at the U.S. southern border because it's so unique. I'll leave you with this final thought. You know, we're America. We've put people on the moon. We've figured out how to deliver something overnight to our doorstep. During one day on Ellis Island, we processed nearly 12,000 people pursuing the American dream through legal means. Is our lack of creative solutions when it comes to immigration a reality or is it a choice? Just something to think about this week as you launch into the first week of July. Hope you have a great weekend. Enjoy it with family and friends. We so appreciate your support here on Smarter News. As always, email us info@smarternews.com or direct message us on social media. We love sharing stories with you, but we love hearing from you as well. I'm Jenna, and this is Smarter News.